Amen. Thank you, Sister Violetta, for blessing our hearts this morning. And it's not about us. It's about Him. Everything that we do have and everything that we are, we owe to the Lamb of Calvary, our Lord Jesus Christ. Hope you have your Bibles this morning. If you do, turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter number 4. The book of Philippians, chapter number 4. While you're turning there, I want to warn you that the battery died in the clock, so I have no idea what time it is. So I left my watch at home this morning, so I guess I'll have to preach till I get through. Reminds me of when I was in Brazil. They really don't care what time it is down there. They'll show up, their big services on Sunday night, and they'll show up and stay 3 hours sometimes, stay till late in the night worshiping the Lord. It's good to have Brother John Duncan, Brother Jay Baker, and Sister Jacqueline with us this morning. They are from the suburbs of Morrison, Tennessee. And Jay and I went to Brazil a couple years, and I never get tired of seeing people get saved, whether it's in Brazil or here in Lower Abiff where you're at, L.A., or wherever it is. I never get tired of seeing people come to faith in Jesus Christ. Some people might say, aren't you afraid you might get some that are not part of the elect? I believe we'll leave that to God. We just, like the song says, come and dine, come and dine. You can feast at Jesus' table all the time. Heard a preacher this week preaching, and he just said, God forbid that we would offer the bread of life and the milk and meat of God's Word and us not give people an invitation to come and dine. And so if you're out there and you're struggling and you've never been saved, it is my prayer that you come to faith in Jesus Christ today. Philippians chapter 4, I'd like to read three verses, verses 6 through 8. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate or think on these things. I want you to notice especially verse number 6 again. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. I believe that word, thanksgiving, is what qualifies that verse. If we're going to let our request be made known unto God, we have to come with hearts of thanksgiving. Now, just in way of announcement, tonight at 5:30, our prayer team will be meeting again. That's open for anyone that wants to come and pray for the church, pray for the nation. We meet every Sunday night at 5:30 for prayer, so I encourage you to be here at 5:30 tonight for prayer. But if we're going to come to God in prayer, we have to be people that are living in thanksgiving. Let's bow and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that we can come to you. Lord, you know what we need even before we ask for it. Lord, we don't know all the needs that people have in this service today, but you do. And you are perfectly able and capable to meet every need according to your perfect will. And I pray that you would. Lord, pray most of all you'd save the soul that's nearest hell this morning. Lord, I pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me power and unction from on high to preach. Give me the words to say this morning that people need to hear. Lord, we just want to come to you in gratitude and thanksgiving. Lord, realizing that we've had nothing to do with our salvation, but it's all of you. Lord, thank you for drawing people to yourself and pray you do it again this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We are exhorted in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. as we enter this holiday season, I think that it is appropriate that the holiday season begins with Thanksgiving. Because as we enter this time where we reflect on what God has done for us throughout the year, we need to set aside time to be thankful to God and give thanks and praise to Him for everything good that has taken place in our lives this year. Thanksgiving is that time when we can reflect on all that God has done in our lives up until this point. And it is God's will that we live with an attitude of gratitude because we have nothing in ourselves in which to boast. Now, Wednesday night, we talked about the power of thanksgiving. It is a powerful thing, both in salvation and in serving. We have to come to God with this attitude of gratitude that we really are thankful to Him. I ask you, do you live every day of your life with an attitude of gratitude and thanksgiving to God for everything that He's done for you in your life? You see, that is God's will, that in everything we give thanks to Him because of Christ Jesus, that it's not of ourselves. There's nothing good in us. The psalmist said that the wicked shall be turned into hell in every nation that forgets God. And today we will see that when thanksgiving is absent, it is because it is a culture that has forgotten God. We will compare and contrast the lives of the lost and unthankful to that of the lives of the saved and the thankful. For those who are saved, thanksgiving is not so much something we do, but it is who we are. If you read the Old Testament, thanksgiving is talked about more so in the context of it being a verb or an action, as something that we do, that we cast praise upon God, and that is something that we do. But in the New Testament, it is directly linked with the Greek word charis, which is the word for grace. So therefore, we can assume that it is something not so much that we do, but it is something that we are because the grace of God has been bestowed to us. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that can pardon and cleanse within. Were it not for the grace of God, we would have nothing to be thankful for, and we would have no ability to give thanks to God. So as we enter this Thanksgiving season, let us remember that it is about God and His grace that has been bestowed and shown to us. God has redeemed us from the curse of sin. Therefore, we must be eternally grateful, and out of that gratitude, we gladly serve our risen Lord. In our passage today, we find that thanksgiving is coupled with prayer and intercession or supplication. It is that thankfulness in our heart which empowers us in prayer, and we will see that thanksgiving gains us an audience with God, it guards our hearts from worry and sin, and it generates a positive mentality and communion with God. Notice first of all with me, thanksgiving gains us an audience with God. The Bible says that God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And when we are not thankful, it is because we have grown proud in our hearts. We have become boastful, not in what God has done for us, but in what we have done and accomplished ourselves. That's why Paul said, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. It is only the grace of God and the love of God that was shown to us on Calvary that makes it possible for us to be anything and do anything. It's by the grace of God, the Apostle Paul said, that I am what I am. And we must keep that in mind if we are going to be thankful. Thanksgiving gains us an audience with God. Notice it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now that word for thanksgiving there in the Greek is the word eucharistia, and it comes from the root word charis, which I mentioned before means grace. It is the grace of God, and it's only by the grace of God that we can be thankful. The psalmist said in Psalm 100 and verse 4, he said, enter His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. You see, it's only by God's grace that we can be thankful, and because we are sinful and desperately wicked in ourselves. There is nothing good that any of us have ever done to deserve God's grace. There is nothing that we have ever done to deserve God's salvation. We are wicked. We are vile. We are evil. We're prone to wander away from God. And we, as an act of our will, because of the nature that resides within us, we go away from God and we sin and fall short of the glory of God. Every day we break God's law. We break His commandments. Therefore, we are sinners and wicked. We cannot get to God on our own. We cannot pray on our own. We cannot do anything on our own. It's only by the grace of God that we are anything and that we can do anything. It's only by the grace of God that we can come to Him for salvation. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, "But thanks be to God for His unspeakable or indescribable gift." There is not language afforded to us that can describe the grace of God and the gift of God, which is salvation. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of our sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." I'm glad and thankful today that I did not earn my salvation, because I couldn't. If I had to earn my way to God, I would die and I would go to hell, because I cannot do enough good to get to heaven. I can't preach enough sermons to get to heaven. I can't join enough churches to get to heaven. I can't be baptized enough to get to heaven. I can't do enough good deeds to get to heaven. It's only by the grace of God that I'm on my way to that fair land. It's only by the grace of God that I know that if I were to die today, I would go to heaven, not because of me, but because God offered me a free gift. It's indescribable because it's incomprehensible. I cannot comprehend why God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, but I'm thankful that He did. How can a holy God love a sinful man? How can God, who is holy and pure, who in Him is no darkness at all, in Him is no sin at all, how could He love someone like me, who is a sinner and bound for hell? How could He love someone like those that all of us who have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? How can an omnipotent God love an impotent man? Man who is powerless in his own to be good. Man who is powerless in his own to be saved. Man who is powerless in his own to do any good to anyone, to make a difference of any significance in the world in which we live. How could God, who is all powerful, love us who are so weak? It's only the grace of God. An indescribable gift. How could a sinless God love a wicked man? So much so that Romans 5:8 tells us that God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us while we were in sin. We can kind of comprehend how a righteous and holy God might send His Son to die for a righteous man. But how can we comprehend how God, who is holy, would send His holy and only begotten Son to die on the cross and shed His blood to pay for our sins? We cannot comprehend that in ourselves. It's indescribable because it's incomprehensible, and it's indescribable because it is so wonderful. The gift of God, which is eternal life. He gives us heaven when we deserve to go to hell. He gives us endless bliss instead of endless torment. He gives us mercy instead of judgment. He gives us streets of gold, gates of pearl, walls of jasper. He gives us an eternity with Him in heaven instead of an eternity in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which the Bible says is the second death. He gives us forgiveness instead of condemnation. So much so that Christ came not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And there is therefore now no condemnation, the Bible says, to those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm glad today that I don't stand in my own righteousness, because if I did, I would be proud and I would not be thankful at all. But I stand in the righteousness of God, which is by Jesus Christ, and I stand justified and already glorified with God in heaven. Hallelujah! I'm serving a wonderful God and Savior who gave me an indescribable gift. Gives us grace, instead of fairness. How many people say, I just think life ought to be fair and life's not fair. God's not fair. People aren't fair. I'm glad that God was not fair with me. If God was fair with me, I would die and go to hell because that's what I deserve. I've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I am God's enemy by nature because I do things in radical disobedience to God and have done things in disobedience to Him. But instead of being fair, He gave me what was not fair. He gave me grace, the free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. And because of that, we come to Him with thanksgiving for salvation. All He asks is that with a thankful heart, we call upon the name of the Lord and we are saved. All He asks is that we repent and turn from our sin and give our lives to Him, and then we will be saved. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. Like I said, that good news translates wherever you're at. Wherever you are, whether it be someone here at Parker's Creek Baptist Church who will confess with their mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in their heart God raised Him from the dead, call upon the name of the Lord, you can be saved. If it's someone in Brazil, they can be saved the same way. If it's someone in Kenya, they can be saved the same way. If it's someone in China, they can be saved the same way. The same God, one Lord, one faith and one baptism. The same God who is Lord and Father of all. All He asks is that you turn your life over to Him and trust His Son's gift on the cross for salvation. Translates anywhere. Translates across economic barriers. It's the same gospel for the rich and it's the same gospel for the poor. It's the same gospel for the white man and the same gospel for the black man. It's the same gospel wherever we're at, for the Jew first and also to the Greek. That includes everyone. It's the same good news, and therefore with thankful hearts we come and accept God's free gift. And then with thanksgiving we come to Him with our supplication. He says, be anxious or fearful or fretful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. As we come into His presence with thanksgiving, as we enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise, we can ask anything in Jesus' name. And Jesus said it would be done for us. He said if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and it'll be done for you. He said that if you would ask anything in His name, believing, you would receive it. When we come into His presence with thanksgiving, we can have heaven move on our behalf. We can see the blessings of God poured out into our lives. Why? Because we have not, because we ask not. All God asks is that we, with thankful hearts, come to Him as His children, because as a loving Father loves to do good things for His children, our Heavenly Father so much so will give to us when we come and ask in Jesus' name. Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? And we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. There is nothing good that will be withheld from the children of our Heavenly Father. When we come to Him, we don't have to fear. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7 says, the Lord has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Notice He says, be anxious for nothing. In other words, when you're a child of the King, you don't have to worry. All your needs will be supplied. If you need a job, He'll supply you with a job. Now, it may not be on the timetable that you think it ought to be, but just when you need it most, He's never in a hurry, but He's always on time. He's never early, but He's never late. And exactly when you need it, He will give you what you need. He's our Father and He's our friend. And He is faithful. Romans 3 verses 3 and 4 says, for what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief, or you could put in their lack of faith, make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar. You see, God is faithful to us, whether we believe Him or not. Whether we are faithful to Him always or not, God is still faithful to us as a loving Father, faithful to His children, faithful to His family. He obligates Himself to us. Why? Because He's gracious and good. Hallelujah. No worries. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about where your next meal is going to come from, because God has promised to supply. Told before about how when I was a kid, Dad went into evangelism, and all we got down where we didn't have anything to eat. We're beyond poor. We were poor. We didn't have anything but biscuits and brown sugar. Mom used the last cup of flour to make the last batch of biscuits. I mean, we didn't have anything to eat. All we knew was that God had called us as a family into the ministry. And we trusted my father that he was listening to God and that he stepped out in faith. And when we got through eating that last batch of biscuits, there was a man who had decided that my dad was supposed to do something else, so he decided he was going to bribe him. He went out and killed a calf and brought us a whole side of beef. Not knowing that we didn't have anything left to eat in the house. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. God's going to supply. Talked before about George Mueller, how millions of dollars passed through his hands, and how he died a pauper. He dedicated his life to serving orphans in London. Back before the days of cars and automobiles, he got down. There was a time when they had no bread. But all he did, he said, we're going to go thank God for the meal that we're about to partake of, even though they had nothing in the orphanage to eat. They got down and they prayed and thanked God. About that time, there came a knock on the door. A man driving a bread wagon had broken down right in front of the orphanage. He said, this bread is going bad. If we don't give it away, can you use it? About that time, another man knocked on the door. He was driving taking a milk wagon on a route. He said, we've broken down. If we don't give the milk away, it's going to spoil. Can you use milk? So they had bread and milk. God's never in a hurry, but He's always on time. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about where you are going to live. The Bible says the heathen worry about these things. We are no longer heathen. We're bought with a price. We're in Christ and we're new creatures. We are children of the Most High King. And He will not let us go hungry. He will not let His children beg for bread. The psalmist said, I was young, now I'm old, but never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging bread. Don't worry, trust God. Don't worry about what you're going to say. Jesus said to His disciples, He said, you'll be brought before kings and magistrates, persecuted for your belief in Christ. He said, don't worry about what you're going to say. In that day and hour, I'll give you exactly what you need to say. Don't worry about what you're going to say to those lost loved ones you've been praying for. When God opens up the opportunity for you to speak to them, He will fill your mouth. He will give you exactly what you need to say. Don't worry about what you're going to say if time comes when we are persecuted for following Jesus Christ. And that day may not be very far around the corner. But don't worry about it. Trust Jesus Christ. And in that day and hour, He'll give us what we need to serve Him. God called you into ministry. Don't worry about how you're going to pay the bills. Trust God that where God guides, He supplies. Just be thankful, open up your eyes, and realize you already have been given all you need. Thanksgiving gains us an audience with God, but quickly, thanksgiving guards our hearts and minds from worry and sin. It guards our minds from worry. We don't have to worry because we know that God is in control. He is in control of our physical condition because He made us. Don't worry about what illness or disease may come your way because He's the great physician. He'll give you grace to help in time of need. He'll either give you grace by supernatural healing, or He will give you grace to go with you through that fiery trial of your life. But either way, you don't have to worry, because the One who made you and knows everything about you, He even knows the number of hairs you have on your head. And He don't have to count very much for me anymore. But He who knows everything about you will give you what you need. He's in control of our physical condition. He's in control of our emotional condition. Don't worry about things that you have no control over. Just give thanks to God that He's in control. He's seated high in heaven on the throne. And no one will move Him off of that throne. He's in control of your emotional condition. Sometimes it's good to cry. Sometimes we just want to hold back our emotions and our tears. When God made us emotional beings, sometimes we need to just let the makeup run, ladies. Have a good cry. Sometimes us men need to quit trying to be macho and cry. Amen, ladies. He's in control of our emotions. He's in control of our finances, because He owns everything. What we've been given is just on loan to us from God anyway. A few moments when we take up our missions offering, we're not giving anything out of our own supply. We'll be giving back just a portion of what God has already given to us. He's in control of it all. He owns everything. And what we have, we're just to be stewards of, because it doesn't belong to us anyway. It belongs to God. So just thank Him for what we have and for the ability to give. We don't have to worry, because we know that God is working for our good. He's able and He works all things together for our good to those that are called according to His purpose. We don't have to worry, because we know that God is able to do anything. Verse the Lord really spoke to me with this week, Jeremiah 32:27. He says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" I'd bless you if you'd let it. Is there anything too hard for me? If you have a bad habit you're trying to quit, if He was big enough to speak to nothing and create everything, and He was, in 6 days He created the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day He rested. He spoke to just vast nothingness out there in space and said, "Let it be," and it was. And everything that we see was created by God. Nothing was made that was not made by Him. If He has that kind of power, is He not also able to deliver you from whatever bad habit you have? If you have someone tormenting you because you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, just for being a Christian, is He not able? If He spoke to nothing and created everything, if He's able to take someone that was dead in trespasses and sins and bring them to life, if He's able to do that, is He not also able to give you grace to make it through anything that you face in your life? Is there anything too hard for me? The Lord says, we have not because we ask not. There is nothing that is impossible to Him. Physical healing is possible only in Him who is the great physician. Financial difficulties He will make not difficult if we trust Him in everything. Whatever you need, God is able to supply. Is there anything too hard for me, He says. Is there any lifestyle that is too hard for God to deliver someone from that lifestyle if it is unpleasing to God? No, nothing's too hard for Him. He can save to the uttermost. He exceeds our wildest expectations. unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ever ask or think, according to the power that is at work in us. He goes above and beyond for His children. Lavishes good things upon us. He'll not only give the Star Wars ship, He'll get a couple men to go with it. Some of y'all that have children will get that. All Andrew talks about wanting for Christmas is Star Wars, Star Wars. Amen. Obi-Wan Kenobi. God, our Heavenly Father, just like we who are earthly fathers, we not only want to get, if we can afford it. Now, no one should go out and run up a bunch of credit card debts for a bunch of things they can't afford and don't really need. Amen. Oh, me. But if we can afford it, we want to do above and beyond for our children. Why? Because we love them. And it gives us great pleasure on Christmas to see them come in there with eyes wide with expectation. Some of y'all forgot what Christmas was like when you were young. You come in there expecting, what am I going to receive? And then when they open up that gift and they find exactly what they've been asking for. But not only that, they don't just find the Star Wars ship, they find a couple men in there to go in the ship. I mean, above and beyond what you had asked for. That's what God does for us. He not only saves us, He seals us with the Holy Ghost until the day of redemption. He says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which you do not know. He wants to do good things for His children. All He asks of us is that we ask. And when we ask, He'll go above and beyond what we ask, giving us exceeding and abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. Hallelujah. Eye has not seen nor ear heard. Neither has it entered into the heart of man what the Father has in store for His children. Thanksgiving will guard your heart and mind from worry. It'll guard your heart from sin. We realize that our good gifts do come from God. We have nothing to do with them. We realize that Christ and His cross is the only thing we can boast in. The unthankful, on the other hand, open the door to other sins. Turn to Romans chapter 1 and I'll be finished. Romans chapter 1. This is a description of a culture that has forgotten God. So remember that sin begins with pride. And when we are not thankful for what God has given us, we think that we have something to do with our blessings. Therefore, we are not thankful. Pride then breeds idolatry. We feel that we know more than God, the Bible and others. Then idolatry leads us to idolize other people and things, which is lustful desires, which will then lead to excess in whatever sin we are participating in. Romans 1 verse 20 says, for since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. No one is going to be able to stand before God and say, God, You never tried to reveal Yourself to me. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who changed the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Then the first part of verse 26, for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. Notice what happened to this culture. They had heard about God, but they didn't glorify Him as God, and they were not thankful. So what happens? They begin to worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator. Is that not where America is? We're out living the American dream, which to many has just become unbridled materialism, to where all they live for is the almighty dollar, trying to gain more of this world's goods, idolizing ourselves and our own ability to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. He says, when a culture forgets me, and when we quit being thankful, realizing that everything we have is just on loan from God, He says the culture is going to turn over to vile passions, the most heinous, gross, things that are imaginable to man, He says, will then become part of the culture that forgets God. The foundations be destroyed, the psalmist said, what can the righteous do? We can be different. We can think on the good things of God. We can be thankful. I believe that thanksgiving and happiness is a choice. We live in a day where people get divorces because they say, God wants me to be happy and I'm not happy in this marriage. We live in a day where people want to take the path of least resistance. I believe happiness is a choice. Every day when we get up, you can choose to be happy or you can choose to be miserable. You can choose to be thankful or you can choose to continue on being ungrateful and unthankful for what God has given us. Whenever you go to a third world country and you see what true poverty is like, it'll make you thankful for what you are and what you have been given. When you see people who are really in need and who are suffering, it will make you thankful. We can choose to be thankful. When people ask us how we are, you can choose happiness or you can choose misery. Came across this on email, and in closing, I'll just read this to you. Guy said that someone came up and asked him how he was doing. He was having a bad day, but he said, I chose happiness instead. He said, I told him, well, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am blessed with all spiritual blessings. I am born again. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I am seated with Him in heavenly places. I am kept by the power of God through faith. I am redeemed by His blood. I am complete in Christ. Let me just say, if you're complete in Christ, you won't worry about someone else having to complete you. So many people miserable because they're trusting some other human relationship to complete them when it's impossible. No one has the power to complete you except Jesus Christ. I am complete in Christ. I am more than a conqueror. I am in Christ. I am sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. My sins are washed in the blood. My old man is nailed to the cross. God is my Father. Jesus is my life. The Holy Spirit is my Comforter. I have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control through the power of the Holy Spirit. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. My weapons are strong, and I have victory over the world by faith. According to the truth of God's Word, I'm doing pretty good. When we look at it that way, it makes all the difference in the world. We can be thankful for our family when we get together with them. You don't have to dread it. You can be thankful. We can be happy. We can choose it. We can be thankful, and we have so much to be thankful for. We are all this and so much more. When God looks at you as His child, He thinks you're all that in a bag of chips. He wants to bless you. All He asks is that we be thankful to Him and bless His name. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I believe Christians need to come today. Just kneel in this altar and say, I do have so much to be thankful for. Maybe we need to ask forgiveness for where we haven't been thankful. Today, choose happiness. Choose life, Moses said, that you might live. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. Lord, we are so thankful. Lord, we couldn't save ourselves. We still can't. We have no ability in ourselves, but You saved us. You called us. You gave us purpose and meaning in life. You gave us a ministry. You give us people to help. Lord, You let us be part of Your kingdom, seeing souls come to faith in You. Lord, You bless us with every spiritual blessing. You've blessed us with so much more than we could ever deserve, above and beyond imagination. Lord, forgive us if we've not been thankful, and help us this Thanksgiving season to do more than just celebrate a holiday, but Lord, let's make it a holy day, giving gratitude and thanksgiving to You, knowing that every good and perfect gift comes from above, comes down from the Father of lights which made heaven and earth, and we thank You for this. With every head bowed and every eye closed, there may be someone here, you've never received God's free gift of eternal life, and it is a free gift. Romans 10:13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're at a point where you realize that, yes, I am a sinner and I need to be saved, and I believe Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sin, and I'm willing to put my faith and trust in Him, He's willing to save you right now. Why not just right there where you're seated, just call on the name of the Lord and be saved? Maybe a prayer like this. Dear Jesus, I am a sinner. Please forgive me. Thank You for dying on the cross to pay for my sin. Thank You for rising from the dead to give me eternal life. Jesus, please save me right now. I give You my life. The best I know how, I'll live for You. Be my Lord, my Savior, and my God.